Wow, well, hey, welcome, Crossman. Let's make some noise again for Brad and the band. Wow, getting us kicked off and started in the right way. Man, my name is Mark, if we haven't had the opportunity to meet one of the pastors around here. And, man, welcome to week one of this incredible series, Spark. For those of you who are tuning in online, listen, this series, it's an incredible series. One, because my first week on staff here actually came during the Spark series, right? We do this series every year, but we look at brand new ideas every year as well. And so this year, we're actually looking at how do we ignite the 167, as Eric talked about earlier, the 167 hours that you don't spend with us either online or right here in this room. Like, how do we ignite the 167 hours? How do we find that motivation? How do we get productive, right? How do we make our lives find the rhythms that really help us excel and become the best people that we can be? And, you know, if we're honest, the rhythm of, you know, this past year and a half, I mean, it's been off, right? Like, if we're all honest, it's been a wreck. Like, if we're honest, right? I mean, we had a whole pandemic. We got shut down. And now we're kind of seeing light at the end of the tunnel, and we're seeing things start to kind of tick back up and start to move in a different direction, which is exciting. But we know that when we have those interruptions and when we have those things happen, one thing, it's hard to get back into good rhythms, and it's so, so easy for us to fall back into unproductive ways. So glad you guys are here. And on that note, we're gonna get right into it, because this week, we're gonna start off with this grand idea, reset. Right? That's what we're going to do right now, right? That's what we need to do, hit the giant reset button. Like, let's start over. Let's do that old thing we used to do, like hit Control, Alt, Delete. Do we even do that anymore? Right? Like hit the reset button and just really start from the bottom. Let's start from zero. Let's really start to analyze things different. And, you know, we really can't start or reset unless we're willing to do this one thing. And that one thing is that in order for us to reset, it's good to start with the detox, right? I mean, if you really want to get a good reset, start from zero, right? Start it from the bottom, now we're here, kind of Aubrey Graham, Drake flow, right? In order for us to start from that place, it's good to detox. Because, see, let me tell you this. I know some of you are like, oh my God, detox, what is he talking about? I thought I came to church. Well, listen, I want you to know detoxing is never a waste of time. You know why? Because you spend your time getting rid of waste. Right? Like, that's what we do. We spend time getting rid of waste. And you know, and this is how we do it, right? we get rid of waste. And I know it's like, it's a joke, but seriously, like, we need to start getting rid of the waste. Getting rid of some of the toxic, right? I'm not going to use this on stage. Don't be too concerned. But listen, we need to get rid of the waste. Because, see, whether you know it or not, like, we've probably picked up some toxic behaviors, some toxic habits, right? We've probably been snacking a little too much during the pandemic. Some of us have picked up the quarantine 15, or is it 25 now, or is it 40? I don't know, Eric. You got to update me. I just stay away from the scale. But you know, we picked up some tough habits. And, you know, with those habits, like, we really have to be careful, because they have a way of kind of sticking around even though things have changed. And so when we pick up some of these, like, toxic behaviors, it's good for us to detox. And that's what I kind of want to start us on this journey of resetting, because we really do have to get rid of some of those toxics. And let me tell you, toxins aren't just what we put in our bodies. Toxins are the sleeping habits that we've embraced, right? For some of us, it's toxic relationships with maybe technology, or maybe, you know, toxic relationship with Netflix, right? I mean, talk about binge watching, right? I mean, how many of us have binge watched something during this time period, right? And so, I mean, all of us have found some toxic behaviors. And it's okay. Like, it's nothing wrong with that. But the challenge is, we don't want to stay there, right? We actually want to be able to pick up and move forward. And so one of the things that we did in my house, we actually decided to do keto, right? You know, everybody's hearing that word now. If you've driven down 69 around here, there's a big sign that says keto bread, right? So my wife and I, Whitney and I, we decided to start keto. And this has become a good friend of mine as a result of keto. But no, keto, if you're not aware of it, it's basically the type of, I call it keto purgatory. That's what I call it. Because I feel like I'm just in holding, waiting to get back to the things that I love, right? But it's a keto diet. And essentially, what it does is, you can only eat like proteins and veggies for the most part. Like, no carbs, like, no sugars, no bread, none of the stuff that you like, you know, the ice creams, the donuts. I mean, come on. Like, I mean, it's just like all of the stuff that you crave. Like, I can't wait to get my fingers around, like, some Chick-fil-A fries or just, like, oh, just some, I mean, just, I can't wait. So I feel like I'm in purgatory. But what I know is that it's actually good. And if you're not familiar with keto, essentially what it does is it's taking, it creates a system whereby you're eating foods and you're allowing your body to now burn the fat. But in order for it to burn the fat in your body has to hit ketosis, which means that you lose all of the carbs because you're not putting the carbs back in. And when you're not putting the carbs back in, your body actually burns what it should be burning, the excessive fat, right? And so it creates this system, and really what it's doing is it's actually resetting your system. And I was like, huh, that's pretty good. Like, I was just doing it because really Whitney made me do it. I didn't volunteer. But you know, I'm doing it, and I'm like, man, it's actually a good point because I came up with this really cool, like, unscientific principle that I think applies to all of us. And that's this, it's that toxic is anything that is artificial or superficial. That when we think about, you know, this idea of what toxic is, it's really the things that don't have substance. It's the things that we kind of indulge in or relationships or things that we give energy to that really are kind of superficial if we're honest, or maybe artificial at best. And we really need to, if we want to reset, we really have to be, you know, really serious about not spending our time in artificial friendships or artificial relationships or superficial things or superficial activities, because what happens is they begin to make us less productive. And because of that, if we begin to surround ourselves or continue to put things around us, or we just pick up things along the way that are like superficial or artificial or things that just don't have substance, guess what? You start walking around with a lot of waste. Or you really start to believe that the superficial things and the artificial relationships are real. And then you're actually living in delusion. And so because if toxic is anything that's artificial or superficial, guess what? In order for us to reset, we should know this about reset, that reset is getting back to what's real. That's it. When we think about resetting our lives, when we think about resetting ourselves and getting reset on a mission or creating a new rhythm, we should really think about what it means to get back to what's real. I mean, real relationships where we actually talk about our real feelings and not things that are just on the surface like we do with some of our neighbors who live across the fence from us, right? I'm talking about real conversations with people who don't look like us or who come from different backgrounds than us. I'm talking about like real, like you have to get real with yourself and have hard questions about behaviors that you have or an attitude that you continuously display or the way in which you put yourself above others, right? Like you have to be willing to have real conversations. And let me say, it's not easy, right? It's not easy to have real conversations. It's actually not easy to have real relationships that people love you and they care about you and they're willing to tell you when you're wrong. They're willing to tell you when you're just missing the mark. They're willing to support you when you have an idea or you have something that you want to go after. But now is a time for you to really embrace the real. See, because when we get back to the real, when we get back to real relationships, it gives us an opportunity to gain the right perspective. See, because the real people that are around you that's going to tell you when you're wrong or tell you the things that you don't want to hear about yourself, it has a way of bringing you back into the right perspective of who you are. Right? And sometimes when we're surrounded by a lot of artificial things or a lot of artificial realities, it oftentimes just distorts our perspective. And we need people around us that can really help us to get into a good rhythm. And I know, listen, we live in a country, we live in a community that we can find ourselves kind of insulated by a lot of superficiality. a lot of things that make us believe that we got to keep up. Well, where I'm from, we would call it keeping up with the Joneses, right? Or keeping up with folks who, the Kardashians, there we go. Keeping up with the Kardashians, or maybe we left them alone a long time ago. But we're trying to keep up with people, and we're trying to make sure that our kids are involved in certain activities because we don't want the women, the wives, or the husbands in the HOA to be talking about us. So we want to make sure that our school district looks a certain kind of way, because if it doesn't, then what are they going to say, right? We want to make sure, like, there are certain things that we are going after that, when we boil it down, is that really what it's about? And so if we want to reset, we got to be willing to do what's real. Now, not only just what's real on the outside, but also we have to be real with ourselves. It's one thing to have other people that's going to be real with us, but then even if they're real with us and we're not real with ourselves, if we're not willing to have a conversation with ourselves, then guess what? We're probably not going to see much progress. And so, you know, if we really want to be able to see some true change, if we want to see things happen in ways that, you know, we see the progress and we see the productivity tick up, then we got to have a real conversation with ourselves. And so I got a really good illustration of this because there are times when we can be in a space and we actually need to put ourselves in someone else's shoes, or sometimes we need to lose the power that we have. And then it kind of gets stripped away from us, and we get put in a position that we don't even realize how we've been treating other people. So why don't you take a look at this clip?
It is better to have money and be brokenhearted than be broke and brokenhearted. Let's wake up and get this money.
Ooh, I need coffee. Told you, watch it. Ah! I swear to God, when I see you again, I'll whoop your butt. Oh, I'm not the one.
The usual.
What's your usual?
You playing with me, right? Here. Does that help you remember? Triple espresso with foam?
You know, too much caffeine stunts your growth.
First of all, shut up. And second of all, does all this body look like my growth has been stunted?
Depends. How old are you?
38. Then yes. Yes, it does.
Oh, my God. Need to go to the hospital.
See that? She doesn't realize that she's now in a kid's body. So she's been walking around treating people like this in her adult body. And one day she wakes up and she's in a kid's body, but she thinks that her reality and her power still moves the same way, and it doesn't. And that's what happens when we surround ourselves with superficial people. Artificial goals, things that really don't add to our being and help us really discover the best parts of who we are. And I know I can hear you guys asking, like, Mark, like, why in the world, why should we reset? Right? I know I can hear you wondering, like, I don't need to reset. I've been through enough this past year. I just want to get back to my normal. I just want to get back to the things that I used to do. I just want to get back around the people that I used to hang around. But maybe, just maybe, that the reason for us having a moment to kind of pause and sit down and be shut down for a moment, maybe it was an opportunity for us to reevaluate and reassess the things and the people that we surround ourselves with, or the news that we consume, or, you know, the constant bombardment of information that we can constantly seek. And if I'm honest, most of that is just curated based on the things that you buy on the internet and the websites that you look at. So you're really just surrounded and isolated with information that people that make a lot of money just designed so that you can stay in a tunnel and be surrounded by things. And maybe, just maybe, this was an opportunity for all of us to kind of take a step back and to see the other side and to maybe see things a little different. In fact, I think that may have been the case with the whole racial tension that we saw this summer. It was all of us at home being able to witness what took place to George Floyd. That it wasn't that that opportunity was something that was new, but it was televised, and we were all paused, and we all felt, and we all saw the pain. And I think it gave all of us an opportunity to reassess and reevaluate. And so if that was happening on a large scale, what could it look like if we began to actually do the same thing? If we began to sit back and think about what would it look like if we reset our lives and reset our paths? And let me tell you, like, there's something powerful when you begin to do some self-analysis, some self-evaluation. Something special begins to happen. Something unique starts to happen and transform. And like I said, I'll be the first to admit, listen, we're surrounded. It's so difficult to not pick up toxic. It's so difficult. It's so easy for you to pick up toxins on your way home, what you're listening to on the radio, or even your family of origin. That some of you have even outgrown your family of origin, and yet, you know, when you go home for the holidays or you go to see them during the summer break, you're kind of dreading it because you know that they are still in the framework and they still kind of might be toxic, and you've now changed your perspective. And so, you know, I want you to know that, one, you're not alone, that, in fact, there's a really cool story in the Bible that's written in the book of Acts. It's a guy named Paul. It's about a guy named Paul, and he's actually starting a church in this city. And this city is called Ephesus, and he's setting up this. He's going there, he's preaching the good news, and he goes to this city, and he's preaching there for like 2 to 3 years. And he's in this city, and let me tell you, this city is like the Wild Wild West. I mean, it's kind of crazy. Like, people out there, they had like all types of religions going on. They had all types of idol worship. I mean, it was almost like your ability to create like religious magic or magic tricks using magic, you know, like it was actually like the sport of its day. Like, literally, you had priests that were doing it, people that weren't priests that were doing it. I mean, you had any and everybody trying to find a way to up one because of this different type of spiritual magic tricks that they were able to do. And I mean, they were coming out like rap albums. Like every other month, you had a new artist popping up. Every other month, a new artist was on their Spotify. Like, oh, here's a new magic trick. Here's a new spiritual healing over here. Here's somebody getting, they can see now. They once were blind. And so they had all of these scams going on. And so Paul kind of enters into this place that's full of toxins. And he begins to preach the good news. And while he's preaching the good news, 2 to 3 years goes by, and he's really not getting any traction because he's surrounded by all of these other competing views, all of these other competing religions, and all of these competing idol worshipers. And so he continues to do his thing. He continues to preach the good news, and he actually starts to heal people, and he's doing it in the name of Jesus. And he's actually, you know, there are a few people who are kind of like closet Christians at the time, right? They're kind of following Paul, but they won't come out and be like, yeah, I'm with Paul, right? And so, but what happens is that all of the other people, like, they heard about Paul and his ability to heal. And when they heard about him being able to heal, of course, there was somebody who was basically like, let's copy that album and let's put it out. So they started taking what Paul was doing and they started trying to do it. They went out and started trying to heal people in the name of Jesus, even though they had never accepted him as Savior and Lord. So they were going out and actually trying to do what Paul was doing, and Paul got wind of it. In fact, this is where we pick it up right here in this passage. It says that one day, the evil spirit answered them, meaning the other people that were trying to perform this miracle. And the evil spirit says this: Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you? Meaning that you're trying to do something with a power that you don't even have access to. So who are you? And they have a crowd of people watching them attempting to get an evil spirit out. And they're called out on their bluff. They're called out on trying to be artificial. They're called out on trying to do something that really was superficial. They didn't have the real thing, right? It was like Pepsi trying to be Coca-Cola. No? Okay, too early. But, you know, it was one of those things whereby, you know, it was they were trying to be the real thing. And here's what happened. Here's what happened. It says this. It says, many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. Well, I mean, they kind of had no other choice because the evil spirit already called them out. Like, I don't even know who you are. I know Jesus. I know about Paul, but I don't know who you are. But at that point, they have to confess, like, okay, the gig is up. We can't play anymore. We can't hide behind this anymore. We got to give it up. And he said, well, they confessed what they had. And it said a number of them who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together, because that's what they kept their magic tricks on and all their religious beliefs. They put them together and they burned them publicly. And when they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas, which is essentially dollars. 50 grand of paper? Could you imagine spending $50,000 on paper? But they literally took $50,000 worth of paper and burned them. What did they do? They detoxed it. You want me to pull the toilet back out for you? That's what they did, right? They basically took their religious stuff and they decided to detox it. Why? Because they were ready to reset. They were ready to get on with what the real power was. They had been tired of faking it for so long. Who am I talking to today? Who am I looking at today that you've been going through life and you've been walking in an artificial world that you refuse to put yourself around real people to have real conversation to help you reset your life? Because here's the thing, when you reset, it actually changes your perspectives. It shifts your perception. And that's what happened to these guys in the story. They saw the real thing. And here's what's interesting. How many of us continue to settle for what's artificial when what's real is right in front of us? When having a real conversation, or having a real friendship, or having, you know, something that can help you move into a pathway that helps you create a good rhythm. But in order to do that, you have to be willing to go and say, I want the real thing. And you can't get the real thing unless you're willing to travel, not outward, but travel inward. See, because what I realize is if you want to reset, it's not an outward race, but it is an inward journey. It's an inward journey that God has decided that he wants to partner with you so that you can begin to see all of the beauty of the realness that he's placed inside of you. Please hear me. You don't want to be the person that continues to sell yourself short just to be a part of the crowd. Just to be accepted at your workplace. Just to be accepted when you go to your country club. Just to be accepted when you get around folks that are at your job or that play on your kid's softball team or even on their basketball team or even they sing on their choir. Like, whatever it is, like, don't sell yourself short, because listen, it's not an outward race. It's easy for us to get caught up in the races that we see, the race to get more money, or the race to have more things, or the race to get the boat on Geist, or the race to get your kids to the top of their class. No, it's about the inward journey of you. And when you begin to work on you, it becomes amazing. You start to realize that resetting and changing your perspective and shifting the way that you do things, that you start to realize that life, it's not about a destination as much as it is about a location. That resetting is not about resetting to get somewhere. Resetting is an opportunity for you to realize your location and where you are. The location of where are you in your marriage? Where are you as it pertains to parenting? Where are you as it pertains to your career? Like where are you? Where are you mentally? Where are you physically? Like where are you? Do you feel like life is slipping through the palms of your hand and you can't get a grip? I promise you, if that's you, it's because we've been looking for a destination instead of appreciating our location. And this is what I love. It's an opportunity for us to think about not only who we are, but ultimately to think about who are we becoming? Who are we becoming? Who do you want to be remembered as? What type of legacy are you establishing right now? Do people see you and they see an artificial person? Do they see a person that's superficial? Do they see a person who's not really living life on mission, on purpose? And see, this is so critical. It's so important. See, because if you don't get to a place where you understand your mission, you'll continuously be moving toward a destination that's called nowhere. So today, I want to invite you to reset. I want to invite you to start over. I want to invite you to take the inward journey. And as you begin to take this inward journey, I promise you, your life will never be the same. See, because you have an opportunity to pick up on a new rhythm, pick up on some new relationships, pick up on something that's a completely different perspective. And watch God begin to move in your life like you've never seen before. Now, I don't want you to leave this, my TED Talk, without some walkouts, right? And so here's some things for you to do so that when you leave here that you can actually put into practice, because resetting, like I said earlier, it's hard, right? So the first thing that I want you to do is that I want you to make sure that you identify your life's mission. I want you to identify it. Take some time, spend some time, right? And begin to think about, like, what is my life's mission? What do I want it to be? And here's the coolest part about this. Please, write it down. Like, don't just think about it, but write it down. You know why? Because if you write it down, it's that say that 75% of you will do it if you write it down. You're 75% more likely to actually do it if you write it down. So that's one of the things that I want you to do this week. It's one of your next steps, actually the first next step. I want you to go ahead, write down, identify your life's mission, and write it down. Now, here's another walkaway, another take home for you, another next step. And really, I like this one because it actually will help with the first one, okay? And so this one is, I want you to consider serving. I want you to consider serving because here's what I discovered. What I discovered is serving helps you to clarify your mission. That when you decide to do service for someone else without getting money, without, you know, something attached to it, it opens you up. I mean, it creates opportunities for you to have conversations and to connect with people who you would have never imagined. In fact, I'm where I am because I decided to serve. And so we got a ton of ways for you to serve around here. You can serve in our kids and student environments. We love for you to serve even at the door. Be a greeter. Why? Because you're going to end up speaking to people and connecting with people that may help clarify your mission. Or maybe you want to work in the back with the techs, or maybe up here in the band. We got some amazing band folks, but maybe that's you. And it gives you an opportunity to go ahead and clarify that mission. Now, last next step, and this one is pretty cool too, right? Especially for those of you who are watching online. Around here at Crosspoint, we're resetting. We talked about our missions last week. We talked about our mission, and we're resetting around here. And part of that reset means that we're changing things. We're thinking about things a little differently. And so as we are resetting and as we are detoxing and as we are figuring it all out, we really just want to know how we can better serve you. So we're asking you to make a decision, and we just really want to figure out how you are connecting here at Crosspoint, just how you're connecting. Are you connecting online? And if so, that's great. And if you're connecting in person, hey, that's great as well. But no matter where you are, we want to know where you're connecting. And the reason is we want to be able to care for you and support you no matter where you are, right? Because we know that just because you're on the other side of the screen doesn't mean that you're not a part of our community. And so listen, you can select any of those next steps. You can select all of those next steps. But what I know is that this is an opportunity for you to begin to reset your life and to change it for the better. All right, so listen, let's stand. I want to pray with you because I believe that as we began this journey, as we began with Spark and igniting the 167, the best way to do it is for all of us to reset. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for this moment, for this opportunity to reflect and to know that, God, you have a mission for our lives, and God, you have a purpose for our lives, and sometimes we just need to get rid of the toxins, God. We need to detox our life, God, and so today as we begin that process, God, we thank you so much for what you're getting ready to do in each of our lives, God, because you have a mission for us, and you are helping us to reset on this journey we call life. It's in your name we pray. Amen.